to build a dome. So the Browns, just so we're clear, the city of Cleveland, not really that serious about keeping the Browns, in so much that they're like willing to pay the cost of business for the Browns. They are willing to go ahead. If the Browns do everything that fits the city of Cleveland, they really want them here, boy. Yeah. Let me tell you about that. Hey, if this works out everything perfectly, I am so sick. We got to get to Brian Casey and Chris Ronayne and Justin Bibb. Kucinich is weighed in. If I, Nick Wilson, taxpayer, Northeast Ohio, if I agree to keep the Browns in the city of Cleveland, can I round up every local politician and put them on like an Acme rocket and just fire them at the, because we got that extra moon right
that's
now.
True, that's your one wish?
Yeah.
Extra moon.
So this is, by the way, this is really impressive.
Okay.
All it is, I'm going to tell you right now, the Browns are going to Brook Park. All this is politicians either trying to find their own cut of whatever's getting shaved off here financially, or they really are just thinking about re-election or maybe running for a new office like some people in the county. I'm just speculating here.
Nobody wants to be in charge when this thing goes down the way it's going down.
Yeah, so we don't want the Browns here because it doesn't work for us financially. We also don't want the political liability of losing the Browns to Brook Park. And I'm going to say that again because they lost them to Brook Park, not to Connecticut. But that is the latest on the Browns stadium situation. Politicians are, in fact, phony, entitled, and have nobody's best interest other than their own. I'm going to break some news here. But we obviously, the Browns, complete bleep show. Here we are, 1-6. Deshaun's done for the season. And to help us make sense, one of our favorite guests here, Albert Breer of the MMQB, joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, buddy. How you doing?
Well, I didn't say I'd be able to make sense of all of it.
Fair point.
I mean, I think the goal is if you don't do it, nobody can. Is that better? Did I just put more pressure on you?
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I'll do my best.
Well, we'll do, that's all any of us do on any given day talking about the Browns. Okay, Deshaun Watson. What are the chances that you think there are that Deshaun Watson suits up again for the Cleveland Browns?
It's such an unprecedented situation, so it's hard to say. I think, like, the right path here, the path they'll probably take is that they draft one with a high pick in April, and then they let that quarterback compete with Deshaun Watson to be the starter. I just, at this point, like, if you get rid of them, like, there is, I guess, the intrinsic benefit of, all right, we're done with that and let's move on. But I mean, there's no financial benefit, right? Because I mean, no one's going to pay him what he is making. So there's no motivation for anyone to give him anything but the minimum, which is all you get offset. I feel like this year it was like, we need to take another swing with him. He's got 3 years left fully guaranteed. I don't know that, like, much changes logistically about where you're at. So, there's no difference cutting him in March versus cutting him in September, right? So you could carry him on the roster. There's no difference so we'll ride this out. We'll let him compete. Maybe he's got a fire lit under him, and he winds up playing really well for us, and we get to sit the rookie. Or it's not going anywhere. The rookie is going to start. We cut him in August, you know? So it's a complicated situation, and because there's no real precedent for it. I think the most likely scenario is in some form or fashion, he's back in the roster next year with competition in house.
Does any of your answer change if it's not Stefanski and Barry in charge?
I mean, maybe, yeah, that's the one thing. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what you would be. I don't know that you can really say that outside of this one decision, Stefanski and Barry have too many black marks on their resume. Like, I think they've done a really good job outside of this. And obviously, like, this was something that was done in conjunction with ownership. I think Stefanski and Barry will be in place. If somebody else is in place, maybe they would be empowered to go in a different direction with them. Sure, I think that's a fair thing to say, but... And maybe you'd need to do that to get somebody to take the job, because the reality is, in today's NFL, I mean, do you really have more than a couple years to prove that you're going in the right direction? So if you're going to hire a coach to come in and Deshaun's got 2 years fully guaranteed left on his contract, I mean, saddling the new coach with that, it's a tough thing to do. So you would think you'd have to empower the new coach to at least have some power over the decision-making when it comes to what's going to happen with them.
Albert, I know this is a big, big, big question, and I know that it might not be a simple answer, but because it does feel like it's over, even if he's still on the roster, why didn't it work out with Deshaun 3 years in?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So I'll give you guys what I think, based on what I know and also like a little speculation. Okay. I think Deshaun Watson came in here empowered by the contract and a little bit of a broken person because obviously, like, what he was accused of is awful, and, you know, to what degree he's guilty of that, I don't think very many people know for sure. Regardless of what you think about that, I do think to some degree he was really messed up by everything. And so, like, he comes in, I think, messed up. I don't think, like, he was in the right frame of mind to be the football player that he was before, now looking back on it in retrospect. And I think one of the things that led him to having great success in Houston was how tough the coaches were on him there, and it was a tough love where they were able to establish respect with him and establish trust with him. And you know, I think because those coaches were coaching him hard and they were difficult on him, he made gains really, really fast because he's very football smart, you know. And because of who he was previous to all this, he endeared himself to teammates, and teammates played for him. And that's not what the Browns have done or have gotten in Deshaun Watson since then. And, you know, I think in addition to maybe not having people who are as tough on him, and maybe because, like, he is being seen as being a little more fragile, you know, like, he's not making the progress he was when he was in Houston. And then you see, like, some other things they do, like not bringing Joe Flacco back and firing Alex Van Pelt. And it's like, I mean, the message that's getting sent to him is, well, this isn't your fault. We're going to fix everything around you. And I'm not saying that the Haslams or Andrew Berry or Kevin Stefanski wanted to send that message, because obviously the contract influences all of it. But, you know, if you're Deshaun, how are you going to take it? Well, all right, like, you know, like, maybe it's not my fault. Maybe it is everything around me. So, you know, I think it's just a lot of things. And I know that's a long-winded answer. But I think what Deshaun needs right now is somebody to be tough on him. I think he needs to get back to being the person he was before all of this. You know, and I'm not, that has nothing to do with the off-field stuff. I'm just talking about the guy he was in the locker room and in the building in Houston. And I don't know how you get him back there. You know, I think it's going to take a lot on his part and a lot on the team's part, whatever team it is, to get him back to where he was. But remember, this is a guy who, at halftime of that game in the AFC divisional round in 2019, was up 24-0 on the Chiefs. And, you know, I think all of us at that point were talking about him and Patrick Mahomes in the same breath. So it's been a pretty precipitous fall since then.
Albert, what are the odds, in your opinion, that the Browns would be competitive next year? Let's say they draft a quarterback. Is the team down to the studs, the bare bones, enough where we're not going to be competitive next year, or with a quarterback we would be competitive?
Well, I think like a lot of it's going to depend on how they view the roster and how they view the window for the players they put in place now. Because I think the Deshaun Watson trade has really firebombed the plan that they had, which was a good one, with the guys they have in place right now. And, I mean, you guys know the names. Amari Cooper's already gone, but he was here. You know, Elijah Moore and, receiver, and then Nick Chubb at running back, Jack Conklin, Jed Wills, Joel Bitonio, Wyatt Teller on the offensive line, Miles Garrett at defensive end, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa at linebacker, Denzel Ward at corner. Where are they at with that core? You know what I mean? Like, and are they in a position where it's like we have to start selling off parts because, you know, these guys are going to age out before we're able to win again? Or are they going to hang on to the core and try to keep winning with the core, you know? I will say this, like, teams are going to call on those guys over the next couple of weeks ahead of the trade deadline. So what do the Browns do there? We might get something telegraphed there. And teams will make those calls after the season as well. So, I think the Browns have put together a really nice core of players. I think Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski have done a nice job developing players that they've drafted and assimilating players they brought in from the outside. Now I think you have to make a decision and you have to be realistic with yourself about where the window is with this group of players and with the information you have right now on the quarterback that you brought in to be that guy. So I think the hope was over the next 2.5 months, they would get a lot more information on who Deshaun Watson is as a quarterback and will be going forward. And obviously, as it stands right now, this is the information that they're going to have going into 2025.
Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So I know JP kind of asked you a similar question, but we were haggling over semantics here. So I'm trying to figure out which one of these works best. Are the Browns rebuilding, retooling, or the dreaded T word, tanking potentially?
I would say retooling. I still think they have enough. You know, now, like, if you're the Browns, do you feel strongly enough about your core of players to say in the offseason trade for Matthew Stafford and, wind up biting the bullet and cutting Deshaun Watson and eating all that cash and all that cap and then mortgaging a bunch of contracts so you can find a way to make it work? It'd be really hard to do that, and you'd be setting yourself up for probably a murky year or two in, say, like 27 and 28. Do you feel that strongly about the core where you're going to do that? Or do you look at it and say, we aren't there now. We're going to have a really hard time getting there over the next couple of years. So instead of just hanging on to this and hoping to make it work at quarterback in a conference where you have, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and Joe Burrow and C.J. Stroud, and, you know, all those names. Do you feel like you're just not going to be able to get there, and now is the time to start to rework the makeup of the roster? That's a decision they're going to have to make after the year for sure.
Albert, you're the best, buddy. We appreciate you. And, we got 10 more games this season to talk about, but it you being here makes it easier.
Well, hopefully I made sense of something.
I think we got a little closer. That's all.
Oh, like, definitely.
It's still the Browns. Like, you can't make sense of a senseless situation, right?
Yeah. Well, God bless the people who've been around it for so long. Your Mary Kate Cabot to the world. She deserves hazard pay for what she's seen.
We all do. Albert, be good, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Albert Breer there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I wanted to ask him about your pumpkin dilemma. I forgot at the last second because threw me off thinking about hazard pay and the things we deserve here. Yeah. We'll react to what Albert had to say about the situation the Browns are in going forward on 92.3 The Fan.